Special guest this afternoon from the city of Bloomington. It is the chief of police. Mike Dekoff joins us for the first time in a while. Long time no here. How you been, my friend?
I've been good. How about you guys?
Well, you've been awfully busy. I know that with dealing with eclipses and little 500 graduations around the corner. Well, you've had a busy April. How's everything been going?
It has been very busy, but so far everything has been relatively uneventful. the eclipse, we didn't see near the traffic that I think people thought we might, so that worked out really well for us. Everybody, I think, got to enjoy it, and then didn't really have to wait in a lot of long lines of traffic.
And I think that's
little five.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, the eclipse, was the stress of the eclipse planning for the what ifs more than obviously the execution of the day, right?
Yeah, that's probably safe to say. I mean, there was a lot of people were meeting for quite a while, trying to make sure that we had everything in place and be prepared for anything that might happen. And it paid off. It was pretty uneventful as far as from our standpoint, but I think, you know, we were lucky that the weather cooperated. I think a lot of people got outside and got to see it, and there really wasn't any traffic issue, so that's good.
That is always good as well, and well, it just reinforces, though, that your partners, whether it's the state police or Indiana University Police, Monroe County Sheriff's Department, how important is it that everybody has those lines of communication and they're kept open? So if things aren't always perfect, there's always that teamwork here locally.
That's true. All the law enforcement agencies in the county work really well together. We meet regularly and go over things, and so there's good communication and partnerships.
That always makes everybody's job a little bit easier, that's for sure. And obviously, little 500 last weekend. I don't know, did you get a little help with the weather on Friday and Saturday? Wasn't very warm on those evenings and night times.
It was not really very warm, but that doesn't deter people from getting out and trying to enjoy things and have fun. It was a pretty uneventful weekend. We did have a shooting that happened on the west side. It wasn't Little 500 related, but the advantage of having an extra 40 or 50 cops working, we were able to get a bunch of people out there, and we caught the suspect within about 5 minutes of the actual shooting, recovered the firearm that was used. So we made an arrest in that case. We had a couple of shots fired calls around the city, but we were able to, in most of those, collect some evidence that we always, in those cases, when we do that, we send evidence off to the state police to have it checked, and then they can compare that information with other types of gun calls that they might have had anywhere in the state. So that kind of helps us build those cases to identify who those people might be that are just randomly shooting off their guns in the city.
We can have fun without doing that, can't we? That's not a requirement that's necessary there. But again, it highlights the partnerships you have with all the other law enforcement on that weekend as well, because you don't have a – it's not like Star Wars. You just can't go to the storage facility and bring out some stormtroopers like they did in the movies. It doesn't work that way. You don't have extra guys laying around. What are your staffing situations right now, Chief Dekoff, and what would you like to see as we move forward?
So we are down some, but we just completed a hiring process, and so we've offered six individuals jobs with our department, so that's looking up. It's still a nationwide issue with recruiting police officers, but it's we're hoping. We've instituted some new policies. We have a new take-home car policy that was the new mayor approved, so we're hoping that helps with recruiting. We have some housing incentives that we currently are using, things are looking up, and so we're hoping that we have more interest and that we'll be able to get more people. But the fact that we've got six people that we offered jobs to this week is something that we haven't been able to talk about in a long time. We just haven't been able to do that. So
now, did you have to go recruit these folks? Where did they come from? How did you make these six people work?
So recruiting is always an ongoing program of ours. We're constantly reaching out to, you know, universities, colleges around the Midwest. We have we always have feelers out at the Law Enforcement Academy and at other training academies, just seeking people who might be interested in employment with us. We're fortunate that Indiana University has their own Law Enforcement Academy, and we recruit heavily at that academy as well. So we do different things. The city has a full-time public safety recruiter, and so we with the assistance of that person, they help also go to different job fairs around the region and you know, sell the city and you know, the fact that it would be a great place for new police officers to come and work.
And you have a brand new one. Solomon Morris graduated back on Friday, April 19th, so he'll be new to the staff as well. That's always exciting. And some of the other positions here recently over the last couple of years, I know you've added some community specialists and others. How has that program worked out, and how are you staffing on that end of the spectrum?
So that we have 8 of those positions. Those are fully staffed. What those individuals do for us is they take minor calls that don't require any type of investigation. They help direct traffic at different events. They take minor traffic accidents. So they end up taking about 10% of our total calls per year, which is it's a benefit, because what that does is that frees up the uniformed officers to focus on more serious stuff.
And you can never have enough help. Do you find more folks from that end of the spectrum than you do that are going to be professional police officers? How do you manage that balance?
Well, some people look at that as kind of a stepping stone. We have
okay.
We have hired people that have been community service specialists as officers. You know, they may not be familiar with what the job is, so they start there and kind of see, you know, what things are like. And then they think, yeah, you know, I might want to be a sworn officer. So they kind of, they switch over and go through that process. And we have used that program to hire people before. So that's kind of a nice segue into the law enforcement world is starting out in that position. You know, we also have social workers. We have 4 social workers, that are budgeted. We currently have 2 openings. But that's a program also that we utilize that help the uniformed officers and you know, the dispatch. They help all over the place. We frequently get people that will call our dispatch center frequently about whatever issues, and then we introduce them to social workers. And a lot of times there might be a mental health issue or something like that going on, and so they work with those individuals to try to cut down on those 911 calls that we might get from them that, you know, take up other resources that if we get them the services they need, then they don't necessarily call us anymore.
Yeah, that's a big team. Dispatch into the – then they have to decide where it goes. I think we just had the dispatchers' recognition week as well. How important are they to the streamlined success of what goes on from getting out in the community to solving some of these problems?
Well, they're extremely important. They're the first line. When someone calls in, that's where they call. And so those dispatchers are extremely critical in the whole process, because they gather that information that the police officers, firefighters, ambulance personnel need when they're being sent on call. So yes, it was dispatcher recognition week. The mayor did a proclamation on that, and actually went to dispatch, read it there, and talked with some of the dispatchers. So they are a very integral part of the whole public safety picture.
Chief Mike Dekoff is our guest, the Bloomington Police Department, checking in with us here on the final Thursday of April before we get to graduation weekend next weekend, and then we'll empty out a little bit, but it never slows down here in Bloomington. And as we as we have a new administration in power, well, I guess that's a terrible thing to say, but it's true. The new mayor's office is here. Well, you've had some interesting real estate issues on your side of town and some other big things going on. What's the update on the police station on 3rd Street and just some other housekeeping items over there to try to get things moving forward? I know you have some renovations going on, perhaps. And there's been some, what are we going to do with that property moving forward? How hard is it to keep all that organized in your world while trying to keep law and order?
Well, there's a lot going on with regards to that. The mayor is still focused on figuring out, you know, what type of facilities we need. But we're still... still researching all that. We're the mayor, you know, had a group of community leaders get together to kind of discuss, you know, what the future of public safety will look like, and so we're still meeting, still discussing to try to figure out how we want to move forward with a new location or a new building for us.
And that's going to be a big deal as well, because as we've talked about, you're looking to increase people on your staff, not shrink it. That building's been around on 3rd Street for a while, hasn't it?
1965, I believe, is when it was built.
They don't build them like that anymore. But do you have enough room? Are you running out of belt notches over there?
So one of the advantages of take home cars for the officers is that's basically their office. So that is helpful because they can store their equipment in their vehicles. They do a lot of their reports in the vehicle. So that's been beneficial to extending the life of the current facility. You know, we have a couple of other buildings around the city that we have people working out of. We have the switchyard office, and we have, you know, our DROs and community service people work out of that location. So we kind of spread out the workforce. We are okay now, but, you know, as we grow, we're definitely going to need more space. So, and you're right, that building was built, they don't build them like that anymore. it's a very solid building.
It is.
A lot of concrete blocks in that building.
And we know it doesn't hold water very well either, so we hope that problem is hopefully that is well behind us as well. Chief Mike Dekoff is our guest this afternoon. We want to remind everybody that you're partnering up with the DEA and National Take Back Initiative. National Take Back Day is happening this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and with your friends at Kroger at College Mall. Everybody knows where that is. And the Bloomington Police Department will be there as well. Why? So we can get rid of prescription drugs and help educate the public about the misuse of medication and other things. It's the safest thing to do. We don't want it in the water table, but we don't want needles and anything else, right? We just want things that are expired in those little capsule holder tablet things, right?
Exactly. You know, people, you know, they might be on some medication and they don't finish taking it and it just sits around. And you know, some of those are heavy duty narcotics. And so it's good not to keep those. And it's a great way to get rid of it for free. You just take it to the drop off and they'll dispose of it the right way.
And if you want to have more interaction with Bloomington's Police Department, the Children's Expo will be at Switchyard Park. The free indoor event is coming up Saturday from 1 to 4, so you can come by and say hi and see what the Bloomington Police Department is up to. And before I let you go, it's the most common thing. People on the street walk up to me and say, hey, if you talk to anybody from there, what are we going to do about the unhoused or these encampments or if anybody walks the trail south of Switchyard Park and down to perhaps Gordon Pike, I know that's one, and then there are other places. What can law enforcement, Chief Dekoff, do? What can't they do? Maybe to clear up some misconceptions of how this quote-unquote can get fixed.
So, if you know, what we're trying to encourage is safety. And so a lot of people feel intimidated, you know, if they're approached by someone who might be experiencing homelessness or see somebody on the, you know, trail or the sidewalk, you know, and a lot of people have mental health issues as well. And so you know, you can call 988, which is a new service that has locally our Centerstone. We'll send out outreach workers to check on somebody. So there's different ways to do it. Some of the camp cleanups that we've done more recently have been because of safety issues. You know, end of last year we had a homicide in one of the camps, and so it just wasn't safe anymore. So we ended up closing those down. You know, there's some camps down in the southern part of Switchyard Park that at the beginning of May are going to be cut down because they've gotten so big and they're just not safe. And so that's what we're focusing on now, is trying to make sure that these places are safe. And if we deem that they're not, then, you know, we're forced to kind of take action so that nobody else gets hurt, you know, or even worse, killed in one of those camps. So that's kind of the approach we're taking right now, trying to work with all the different social service agencies. They partner with us when we do those types of things so that we can try to get people housing. I know the mayor's been actively working on a lot of different strategies with the different agencies in the community to try to figure out what we can do differently to get more people housing. And so it's not an easy task. It's not something that's going to be solved overnight, but we keep bringing partners in and having lots of discussions about how we can make it better.
Yeah, you can't arrest your way out of this issue. I don't think
No, we can't.
And not to say that you've tried that either. That's just it's just the numbers don't add up. And speaking of, well, we've had the discussion going on and on and on, and I don't have to remind you of how long this discussion's been happening. But your thoughts on the next evolution of the jail court system, how that's going to work? What is your input from your position on that? I know you have, again, this multifaceted interaction with multiple courts and legalities and other law enforcement partners. What do you need from the city's end in this?
So I've tried to just stay out of it. it is a county issue. They are responsible for that. And so, you know, I've had some early conversations about, you know, our interaction with the jail is when we take people there. And if we can make that as streamlined as quick as possible, then that gets our people back out to do the work they need to do. So that's kind of my involvement is, you know, how it can benefit us. And that's where we're at, is a quick turnaround when we have to take somebody and book them into jail.
Yeah, and there's only so many land options we have to put a footprint of the size. Perhaps we're hoping to have a campus or everybody in one spot. So if it's going to be a little inconvenient, well, that's where the land is. That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's really tough trying to find a big enough piece of property to have everybody located at the same spot. Because if you locate the jail by itself, then you have transport issues going back and forth to court. And it makes it harder. You know, the public defenders, attorneys have to get someplace else to meet with their clients. So it makes it difficult if it's not all co-located together.
Well, I really appreciate your time today, my friend. It's great to hear your voice again. Have a great, this weekend, dead weekend, quote unquote, and we'll have graduation week and weekend next weekend. I hope it continues to be as, it sounds pretty positive. You didn't have a ton to do on some of these other big occasions. Let's keep that streak going, my friend.
Yep, let's hope so.
Well, I appreciate your time. I'll get caught up with you here in the summertime. We'll see what's going on as festival season hits, and we'll have some fun with that with some new visitors to town as well.
Okay, yeah, take care, okay?